Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Tuesday, November 8th, 2022. Coming up this hour,
Americans go to the polls with control of the House and Senate at stake.
Races in Georgia and Pennsylvania could be key. We're also watching a close contest for New York governor.
And Donald Trump all but confirms another run for the White House with an announcement set for next week.
House Speaker Nancy Pelosi speaks for the first time about the attack on her husband, plus a technical issue has delayed the Powerball drawing. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. The Ravens beat the Saints. The Nets lost. Wins for the Knicks, Islanders, and St. John's.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. And U.S. stock index futures are higher this morning. We are coming up to 5:01 on Wall Street. I mean, check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 6 points this morning. Dow futures up 54. NASDAQ futures up 39. The DAX in Germany is up 0.2%. 10-year Treasury up 4/32, yield 4.19%. And the yield on the two-year, 4.70%. NYMEX crude oil is down 1.1% on $1.02 and $90.77. Cents a barrel. Nathan.
Karen, we will have more on markets in a minute, but first, this is Election Day. Control of the Senate hangs in the balance as candidates make their final hour pushes for votes. There are tight races shaping up in at least three states. Amy Morris has the latest from our Bloomberg 99.1 newsroom in Washington.
In Pennsylvania, the Senate race between Democrat John Fetterman and Republican Mehmet Oz is neck and neck.
I will bring change to Washington so they treat us the way we deserve.
And I'm going to need every one of you to go out, get your friends, get your families all ready to vote.
In Georgia, a record 2.5 million votes are already cast. Republican challenger Herschel Walker in a dead heat with incumbent Democratic Senator Raphael Warnock.
I'll show up for you for 6 more years. You got to vote for something new and it starts in November.
If no candidate gets more than 50% of the vote, it could head to a runoff in December. Be ready for days of counting ballots in Arizona, where the race for senator between incumbent Democrat Mark Kelly and Republican Blake Masters and the gubernatorial contest between Republican Kari Lake and Democrat Katie Hobbs are so tight, pollsters expect those results to come down to just a few thousand votes. In Washington, I'm Amy Morris, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Amy, thanks. Well, there are several key races for governor across the country, including a closely watched one in New York. And Bloomberg's Michael Barr joins us live with the latest. Michael, good morning.
And the race for governor was once considered an easy win for incumbent Democratic Governor Kathy Hochul. However, Republican Lee Zeldin made up ground in the polls to make it a tight race. Both candidates made their final push to voters. Governor Hochul campaigned in Manhattan.
I always run like I'm the underdog. It makes me work harder. That's why we're going to win.
Hochul also campaigned last night in her hometown of Buffalo. Both candidates need votes not just from independents or Republicans, but Democrats as well, something Zeldin knows.
And it wasn't until New Yorkers united in the early 90s that they decided that they were going to take back our streets.
Zeldin campaigned at the scene of a subway stabbing in New York City in his push to fight crime. In New York, Michael Barr, Bloomberg Radio. Nathan Karen.
All right, Michael, thank you. Voters are also weighing at least $66 billion of state and local bonds measures today to finance projects like new schools and climate resiliency efforts. We get that story from Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett.
The proposed borrowing is more than double the $27 billion on ballots of this time last year and among the highest volume of bonds up for a vote since at least 2009, this according to a Bloomberg analysis of a preliminary tally of bond measures compiled by IHS Markit. The increase comes as states and cities have been collecting better than expected revenue in the last fiscal year, shoring up the budgets after a period of financial uncertainty at the onset of the coronavirus pandemic. In New York, Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Charlie, thank you. While Americans head to the polls, Donald Trump is ramping up hints that he'll run for the White House in 2024. The former president all but confirmed the move at a rally last night in Dayton, Ohio.
I'm going to be making a very big announcement on Tuesday, November 15th, at Mar-a-Lago in Palm Beach, Florida.
Former President Trump has been teasing a run for months. Advisors have long urged him to hold off on an announcement until after the midterms.
All right, Karen, now let's take a look at some news outside today's elections, beginning in Europe. As the war between Russia and Ukraine rages on, sanctions continue piling up on Moscow. But now Bloomberg News has learned the White House wants banks like J.P. Morgan and Citigroup to keep doing business with some strategic Russian firms. We're told it's part of a behind-the-scenes effort to limit the adverse impact of Russian sanctions on the global economy, even as some in Congress pound the table for stronger steps.
Well, on Wall Street, Nathan, stocks have rallied for two straight days ahead of the midterms. Morgan Stanley's Mike Wilson says polls that show Republicans claiming at least one chamber of Congress could provide a catalyst for equities.
We're getting close to the end of the bear market. We're not there yet, but you know what you want to try and figure out is what outperforms in the last leg down, and because that will tell you what's going to outperform in the next leg up eventually when we get there. And that's been industrials, financials, and some of the commodity complex.
And Morgan Stanley's Mike Wilson says companies will need to bring down expenses before he becomes more optimistic on equities.
Another key market for the event for the markets, Karen, comes on Thursday when we get a reading on consumer prices. Richmond Fed President Thomas Barkin says the central bank will persist in efforts to bring inflation under control.
Inflation should come down, but don't expect its drop to be immediate or predictable. We've been through multiple shocks, as I discussed, and significant shocks simply take time to dampen.
Richmond Fed President Thomas Barkin says one key lesson from inflation in the 70s is not to declare victory prematurely.
Well, Nathan, we turn our attention to the big climate change summit in Egypt now. The World Bank has announced a climate trust fund for poorer countries. And we caught up to the president of the World Bank, David Malpass.
The war in Ukraine, but also the giant amounts of government spending that were done on COVID. And so that is putting upward pressure on prices around the world. And that hits the poorest the hardest.
World Bank President David Malpass spoke with Bloomberg at the COP27 summit in Egypt. Catch more of that conversation coming up later in our program. Futures are higher with S&P futures up 11 points this morning. Dow futures up 81. NASDAQ futures up 56. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports. And this is Bloomberg.
Thanks, Karen. 507 on Wall Street, 48 degrees in Central Park. Got a car fire southbound Garden State Parkway, exit 171. More coming up in traffic. First, Michael Barr is back with more on what's going on in New York and around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. There are other races being watched in the tri-state area as well. In Connecticut, Democratic Governor Ned Lamont is up against Republican challenger Robert Stefanowski. Lamont spoke earlier with Bloomberg about the issues in the campaign.
I think the economy. Front and center. Here in Connecticut, we've been flat as a pancake for 30 years. We hadn't added a new job in 30 years, and we were going from fiscal crisis to fiscal crisis. It was a pretty lousy story. And the last, 4 or 5 years, we're beginning to turn things around.
In the U.S. Senate, Democrat Richard Blumenthal is up against Republican Leora Levy. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi said the attack on her husband, Paul, would be a factor in deciding her political future and expressed dismay that Donald Trump and others, including Elon Musk, had cast doubt on the attack. Pelosi told CNN last night, "You see what the reaction is on the other side to this, to make a joke of it. And really, that is traumatizing, too." U.S. Supreme Court justices have signaled they may open new avenues that could weaken the clout of the Securities and Exchange Commission and Federal Trade Commission. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has the story.
The justices are considering cases regarding claims going directly to federal court. The two regulatory agencies have been very busy. The SEC filed more than 700 enforcement actions in the last fiscal year and won judgments and orders worth $6.4 billion. The FTC is seeking to break up Meta platforms and investigating Amazon, among other initiatives, returned $2.4 billion to consumers last year. It is a conservative court, and it could decide the question of the value of regulation vis-a-vis more free commerce. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
The Multi-State Lottery Association said in a statement that the Powerball drawing was delayed last night and the official results won't be known until later. The record-breaking $1.9 billion Powerball drawing was delayed because a participating lottery had issues processing sales. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael. Thanks. 5:09 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Sports Update, brought to you by Tri-State Audi. Good morning, John Stanshaw.
Good morning, Nathan. Busy night of basketball. Opening night in the college game. The entire preseason top 25 played. They all won, including Duke and new coach John Shire, Villanova. For new coach Kyle Neptune, they replaced the Hall of Fame coaches Mike Krzyzewski and Jay Wright. St. John's won its opener by 25 over Merrimack. Also, 15 NBA games with a message at all of them to remind fans to vote. That's why the NBA will not play any games tonight. Knicks in Minnesota scored 76 points in the first half and won 120-107. 31 points to Julius Randle. He made 8 three-pointers. The Nets lost in Dallas, 96-94. Luka Doncic, 36 points for the Mavs. Kevin Durant, 26. For Brooklyn. Milwaukee lost for the first time. Cleveland for just the second time. The Lakers lost by 23 at Utah. The Lakers are 2-8. The Jazz traded their two best players in the offseason, yet they are a surprising 9-3. Islanders made it 5 of their last 6. They beat Calgary 4-3 in overtime. Monday Night Football, Ravens and Saints.
Jackson will keep it. Sweeps to the right, looking to throw. Now he lobs it at the 10. He's got a man open. Touchdown, Ravens! Isaiah Likely slipped behind the secondary, and the Ravens strike first in New Orleans.
They held the call. Ravens went on to win 27-13. They stay in first place. AFC North at 6-3. The Colts have only 3 wins, and they fired coach Frank Reich. Replaced him with former Indianapolis center Jeff Saturday, who has no previous NFL coaching experience. Giants safety Xavier McKinney, one of their top defensive players, spent his bye week in Cabo, hurt his hand in an ATV accident. He'll miss a month. John Stashower with Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
Okay, John, thanks. On this election day, futures are pointing a touch higher. S&P futures are up 10 points. Dow futures up 75. NASDAQ futures up 54 points. 10-year treasuries up 4/32. The yield 4.19%. We'll look at what's at stake for markets on this election day. Terry Haynes, founder of Pangea Policy, joins us next. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg Sports is brought to you by Audi. Don't let someone else drive off in the Audi model you've always wanted. Visit your local Tri-State Audi dealer to get behind the wheel of yours today or visit AudiOffers.com for more information.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. stock index futures are steady as investors await the results of today's midterms, as well as Thursday's inflation report. And we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up about 8 points. Dow futures up 62. NASDAQ futures up 50. The DAX in Germany is up 0.3%. 10-year Treasury up 4/32. Yield 4.19%. And the yield on the 2-year, 4.70%. NYMEX crude oil is down 1.1% on 96 cents. At $90.84 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.4% or $6.90 at $16.73.50 an ounce. The euro 0.9998 against the dollar. The British pound 1.1479. The yen 146.25. And Bitcoin is down 4.4% at $19,770. Watching shares of Take-Two Interactive Software down more than 18% this morning after it reduced its forecast for net bookings. And Walt Disney is among companies scheduled to report earnings today. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. It is Election Day. The nation has its eye on several key races that could change the balance in Washington. 35 Senate seats are on the ballot. Former President Trump, speaking in Dayton, Ohio, says he will make a big announcement on November 15th at his Mar-a-Lago estate. Trump had been teasing for months he'd run again. Meanwhile, President Biden traveled to campaign in Maryland. Biden acknowledged Democrats face a tougher challenge holding the House than the Senate. In the NBA, the Knicks won, the Nets lost, the Celtics, Wizards, and Warriors all won. NHL, the Islanders won in OT against the Flames 4-3. The Bruins and Capitals won. In Monday Night Football, the Ravens beat the Saints 27-13. Global news, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts, more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thanks, Michael. 5:19 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. On this election day, we're joined by Terry Haynes, the founder of Pangea Policy, to take a look at where things could shake out after tonight. Terry, good morning. As we just heard from Michael Barr there in the news, President Biden is acknowledging it's going to be tough for Democrats to hold on to the House. So what's your final forecast?
Good morning, Nathan. I find myself usually pushing back against in elections against the kind of huge red wave, huge blue wave stories that swamp us every 2 years. I find myself uncomfortably consensus this year. I think I'm about 60% that we have an all Republican majority Congress, but I think very small majorities. About 30% likely to result in a split Congress, which would be a Democratic Senate or Republican House, and only 10% likely to maintain the all-Democratic House. What I've been cautioning markets is a couple of things. One is that you shouldn't expect a definitive result for days. The markets seem poised to kind of want to break out on the upside on some news, and they're not going to get that news for a while. Secondly, I think that what we have here is no control. Media, no offense, I like to say that one party or another will control Congress, when in fact, as you and I have discussed a lot, these parties are really coalitions of different people, and they find it very difficult to cobble themselves around particular policies. That'll continue with Republicans. So the reality of policy change won't quite match whatever the election results are.
Well, what could it mean for policy if we do get a divided government, the return of divided government in Washington? What could it mean for either party to get an agenda moved forward?
Very broadly speaking, the status quo. I think what you get is you get domestic policy gridlock with the one party in the White House checking off against the other party in the Congress, firstly. Secondly, I think you get you do get fiscal stability. There's been fiscal stability for the last decade. I think that continues. I don't think you get another kind of COVID spend or inflation reduction sort of spend, though, which is probably helpful in the markets. And thirdly, you get continued unanimity in foreign policy. I mean, if there's any area where the transition from the previous administration to this one has been remarkable, it's that foreign policy has remained largely the same and largely supported by both parties. And I think that continues.
Is there a risk for market volatility if, as you say, we don't know the results of some key races after tonight?
I think it. I think it's a spice. Yeah, I think a lot of people in markets are understanding that you're not going to get an instantaneous result. Markets are as you know better than I, very much interested in instant gratification one way or the other, and they're not going to get that. So there'll be a little bit of that. But, you know, in the middle of everything else that's going on, I don't think it'll be a major driver.
What is the message for Democrats, for President Biden, if the polls come out the way or the results come out the way the polls are indicating and we do get a pretty strong result for Republicans after this evening?
Well, what the message should be for both parties is that, you know, what you're doing, whether it be kind of overstating the, you know, overstating policy differences to the sort of apocalyptic rhetoric that's been featured in many states over the past several months isn't working, and that what people want are problem solving and reaching across the aisle, and frankly that the vast majority of problems can be solved that way. Not every one, of course, but the vast majority of problems can be. And that's not happening. What concerns me is that neither party takes away from this election, whether it be Democrats losing or Republicans not winning that much, kind of the humility they need. Peggy Noonan's column last week, I think, said very well that democracy doesn't survive without humility. And, our politics could use a great dose of more of it.
Thanks, as always, Terry. Good to get your thoughts, especially on the morning before the polls open across the country. Terry Haynes, founder of Pangea Policy, with us on this election day. Looking ahead to the market open this morning, futures are poised for a slight gain on Wall Street, with S&P futures right now up 5 points, Dow futures up 43, NASDAQ futures leading the gains higher by 37 points at the moment. The 10-year Treasury is up 3/32, yield 4.20%, yield on the 2-year 4.70%. And looking at NYMEX crude right now, it is lower on the session, down 1.4% at $90.52 a barrel. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg 11:30 weather, sunny, much cooler today. Highs today and tomorrow in the mid-50s. We'll be in the low 60s with another sunny day expected on Thursday. Right now, 48 degrees in Central Park.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 11:30 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 99.1 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by SEI. Built on advanced technologies and 50 years of innovation, SEI offers asset managers a comprehensive and flexible operations outsourcing platform. Go to seic.com/managers.
And we're just about 4 hours away from the open of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. It's Election Day. Americans go to the polls to decide control of Congress. Jessica Taylor, editor with the Cook Political Report, tells us momentum is on the Republican side.
The House looks further gone than the Senate. The Senate is still going to be very, very close, but the closer it gets to Election Day, the more worried Democrats that I've talked to have gotten and the more bullish Republican strategists have gotten.
Jessica Taylor of the Cook Political Report spoke with our Washington correspondent Joe Matthew on Bloomberg Sound On. Catch the program weekdays at 5 p.m. Eastern on Bloomberg Radio.
Some of those close Senate contests, Karen, include Pennsylvania, Ohio, Georgia, and Arizona. Arizona's race for governor is also expected to be close. In New York, Republican Lee Zeldin could deliver a shocker in a race that was once thought to be a shoo-in for Democrats.
We need to hire more law enforcement.
Lee Zeldin has made crime one of his main talking points. New York Governor Kathy Hochul campaigned in her hometown of Buffalo last night.
Meantime, Nathan, former President Trump is not so subtly hinting at another White House bid. He's scheduling an announcement once the midterms are over.
I'm going to be making a very big announcement on Tuesday, November 15th.
The former president made that announcement last night at a rally for Ohio Republican Senate candidate J.D. Vance.
Let's turn to markets now, Karen. Stocks have rallied for consecutive days ahead of the midterms, but Bloomberg macro strategist Cameron Kreis does not believe control of Congress will change much for investors.
People tend to overestimate the significance of individual political actors in driving economic and certainly financial market returns.
Bloomberg's Cameron Kreis says this week's consumer price index and uncertainty in China will have more of an impact on markets.
And at the COP27 climate summit in Egypt, Nathan, the World Bank announced a climate trust fund for poorer countries. Bloomberg's Francine Lacqua spoke about it with World Bank President David Malpass.
More resources are really important, both for the climate crisis, but also for the financial crises affecting the developing countries.
Hear more of Bloomberg's conversation with World Bank President David Malpass a little later in the program. Futures this morning are on the rise. S&P futures up 5 points. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports. And this is Bloomberg.
Thank you, Karen. It's 5:33 on Wall Street, 48 degrees in Central Park. We still got that car fire southbound Garden State Parkway, exit 171. And Michael Barr is here with more on what's going on in New York and around the world. Michael?
Thank you very much, Nathan. There are other races being watched in the tri-state area as well. In Connecticut, Democratic Governor Ned Lamont is up against Republican challenger Robert Stefanowski. Lamont talked about the infrastructure bill when he spoke to Bloomberg earlier.
We got 100-year-old bridges and old roads, old rails. So this is a big deal for us. Every president seems to be talking about infrastructure. Biden's the first guy since Ike, as far as I can figure out, to really be serious about it.
In the U.S. Senate, Democrat Richard Blumenthal is up against Republican Leora Levy. Speaker Nancy Pelosi is now speaking about how the brutal assault on her husband may affect her future in Congress. Pelosi, in her first interview since the brutal hammer attack on her husband Paul, acknowledged to CNN's Anderson Cooper the attack will impact her decision on her future in Congress without saying what the decision will be if she's no longer Speaker of the House.
I have to say my decision will be affected about what happened the last week or two.
Will your decision be impacted by the attack in any way?
Yes.
Authorities say Paul Pelosi's alleged attacker, David DePape, wanted to take Speaker Pelosi hostage. U.S. intelligence and the U.S. government have long accused Russia of interfering with U.S. elections, primarily using social media. One of Vladimir Putin's key allies, Yevgeny Prigozhin, is now admitting that he did meddle in the U.S. elections and will do so again. People waited in line for hours for the record-breaking $1.9 billion Powerball lottery jackpot. Get your tickets out because here comes tonight's Powerball.
Because of a technical problem tonight, we are unable to bring you the Powerball drawing at this time. As soon as we're able to resolve the issue and conduct the drawing, it will be available for viewing on Powerball.com and on our YouTube channel, Powerball 39.
Powerball says a participating lottery needed more time to process sales. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts, more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Still time. Thank you, Michael. 5:35 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Sports Update, brought to you by Tri-State Audi. Here's John Stanchar.
All right, Nathan, with Kyrie Irving serving that suspension, a little less drama for the Nets. Had a couple of road wins, nearly another, but the Nets fell short in Dallas, 96-94. Luka Doncic, 36 points for the Mavs. He joins Wilt Chamberlain as the only players to begin a season with nine straight games of 30 or more points. But the Nets playing better defense. There's Kevin Durant.
Yeah, I think we found some things on this trip that are worth for all of us to keep all of us in the game offensively and defensively. I think we found some stuff on, switching and helping out in the post and just a little different things that we're trying to figure out on the defensive side of the ball.
KD scored 26. The Nets host the Knicks tomorrow. Knicks back to .500. They won at Minnesota 120-107. Knicks coach Tom Thibodeau, as always, resisted playing Julius Randle at the same time as fan favorite Obi Toppin. He did it last night. They combined to make 11 three-pointers. Randle scored 31 points. Good win for the Islanders at the UBS Arena. They trailed Calgary 3-1 midway through the third period. Anders Lee, Kyle Palmieri scored a minute apart, and then Noah Dobson with a minute left in overtime, and the Islanders won 4-3. Opening night in college basketball, St. John's beat Merrimack by 25. David Jones, 24 minutes, 21 points, 10 rebounds. NFL, Baltimore won at New Orleans 27-13. Indianapolis fired coach Frank Reich midway through his fifth season, replaced him for now with Jeff Saturday, the ex-Colt lineman who had been working for ESPN. Giants safety Xavier McKinney hurt his hand in an ATV accident, will miss a month. Yankees, as expected, picked up the $15 million option on Luis Severino. John Stashat with Bloomberg Sports, Steve.
Thank you, John. 5:37 on Wall Street. Time for the Tri-State Business Report. Here's Bloomberg's Denise Pellegrini.
The education business in New York City might not be making the grade. Enrollment has slid 10% since the fall 2019 school year. That's according to the Department of Education. And that's as families leave the city for other places like New Jersey and Florida. Hartford train line stations are sparking new economic development in Connecticut. Hartford Business says the state's transit-oriented investment program for the Hartford Line Corridor is attracting mixed-use projects. And First Selectman Paul Harrington says in some cases, the phone is ringing off the hook with developers looking for more information on potential projects. And watch for Sir Elton John at the Saks Fifth Avenue window unveiling November 22nd. The entertainer teaming up with Saks for the luxury retailer's holiday campaign in support of his AIDS Foundation's Rocket Fund. With the Tri-State Business Report, I'm Denise Pellegrini.
Thank you, Denise. It's 5:38 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Steve Potusk on KNX in Los Angeles. We're talking about AMC Entertainment launching Zoom rooms in some of its theaters.
I'm Courtney Donahoe on KTRH in Houston. Retailers are pushing big holiday discounts to get rid of an overabundance of inventory.
I'm Gina Cervetti, and for KCBS in San Francisco, I'm reporting that Lyft appears to be losing ground to rival Uber, with ridership not returning to pre-pandemic levels.
I'm Stephen Carroll on Bloomberg DAB Digital Radio in London. We've been reporting on efforts to bolster a pledge to cut methane emissions at the COP27 climate conference.
I'm Denise Pellegrini, and I'm WOAI in San Antonio. I'm reporting on all the big holiday shopping bargains coming our way.
And those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. It's 5:39 on Wall Street.
The following is an editorial from Bloomberg Opinion.
This editorial was written by the Bloomberg Editorial Board.
Over the past few decades, Europe has undertaken a monumental transformation of its electricity sector, dismantling national monopolies and rearranging the pieces into a common market. Amazingly, it mostly works. So it would be ironic if the totalitarian leader of a former Soviet state convinced Europe to abandon this free market. Yet that's now a looming risk as European officials struggle to respond to Russian President Vladimir Putin's weaponization of energy supply. No doubt, getting through the immediate crisis will require some suboptimal policies out of sheer expediency. But this doesn't mean the broader reform was misguided. On the contrary, creating a unified market has delivered vast benefits. Europe shouldn't let a Russian dictator undermine them. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg Editorial Board. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPIN Go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
And you can hear Bloomberg Opinion editorials every weekday at this time. Terminal customers can read more at OPIN Go. Looking ahead to the market open on this election day, futures are pointing to slight gains. We've got S&P futures higher by 5 points right now. Dow futures up 44. NASDAQ futures on the rise by 36 points. Straight ahead, we're going to take a close look at a closer than expected New York governor's race. Bloomberg New York Bureau Chief Shelley Banjo will join us live. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg Sports was brought to you by Audi. Don't let someone else drive off in the Audi model you've always wanted. Visit your local tri-state Audi dealer to get behind the wheel of yours today or visit AudiOffers.com for more information.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. This update brought to you by SEI. Imagine your asset management firm's operational infrastructure as a competitive advantage. Let SEI show you how at SEIC.com/IMS. U.S. stock index futures are higher this morning. Investors awaiting the results of today's midterms as well as the inflation report on Thursday. And we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 5 points. Dow futures up 44. NASDAQ futures up 35. The DAX in Germany up 0.3%. 10-year Treasury up 3/32. The yield is at 4.19%. Yield on the 2-year, 4.70%. NYMEX crude oil is down 1.25% at $1.16 at $90.63 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.4% or $6.80 at $16.73.70 an ounce. The euro is at parity against the dollar. The British pound 1.1476. The yen 146.26. And Bitcoin this morning is down 4.7% at $19,700. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, thank you very much. Months of campaigning are now over. The midterm elections are here that will decide control of Congress and top governorships. President Joe Biden acknowledged Democrats face a tougher challenge holding the House than the U.S. Senate, but he's optimistic. Meanwhile, former President Trump says he is going to be making a very big announcement on Tuesday, November 15th at his Mar-a-Lago resort. Trump has strongly hinted that he will announce another run for the White House. In the NBA, the Knicks won, the Nets lost, the Celtics, Wizards, and Warriors all won. In the NHL, the Islanders won in OT against the Flames, 4-3. The Bruins and Capitals also won. Monday Night Football, the Ravens beat the Saints, 27-13. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries, I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Okay, Michael, thank you. It is 5:49 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. On this midterm election day, we want to take a closer look at a New York governor's race that has turned pretty competitive in the final weeks for Democratic incumbent Kathy Hochul and Republican challenger Lee Zeldin. For more, we're joined by Bloomberg New York Bureau Chief Shelley Banjo. Shelley, good morning. So the Republican in this race really has closed the gap with Governor Hochul with a focus on crime. How has he pulled this off?
That's right. This was supposed to be sort of a shoe-in for Democratic Governor Kathy Hochul, and it did not turn out that way. It's gotten a lot closer in the final weeks of the election as campaigning has really ramped up. Lee Zeldin had two things on his side. One is he started campaigning very early on, 18 months ago, started really hitting the campaign trail, talking to folks all around the state, and that has come to fruition. And the second one is what you said, which is this focus on crime and the economy in a way that, you know, it scared a lot of people. It also, you know, kind of captivated and talked to a lot of people about what they were feeling around issues around crime and inflation and the economy.
It seems to hit on some of the themes that Republicans have really tried to latch onto on a more national level as well, with a focus on the economy and crime, particularly in New York State. Could this race be seen as something of a bellwether for the entire country, or does the crime issue in particular really come down to what's happening in New York City and elsewhere?
I think it certainly plays into the national trends of crime and the GOP really pouncing on that. New York City in general, there has been a heightened sense, you know, crime remains at decades lows in New York City, but they have gone up since the pandemic. So if they went down when the pandemic started, there were lockdowns, less crime was happening. And then you see these 2 years of jumps that people feel, that people see, especially high profile crimes. And so especially for younger New Yorkers who had only seen a lifetime of crime going down, to see crime go up, you really start to feel that you start to feel that change. And Lee Zeldin capitalized on that in a way that Kathy Hochul didn't, because she was so focused during her entire campaign on these kind of key democratic social issues like abortion and Trump and, you know, democratic voting rights and things like that. And so she didn't really pivot to those kind of core issues until much later in the campaign cycle. She also just didn't campaign until later in the campaign cycle. She was really running as if she was an incumbent, even though she hadn't really been in office all that long and had never been elected.
Well, in these final weeks, of course, as you mentioned, there was a sort of late pivot to campaigning for Governor Hochul, and we've seen some national figures come out on the stump in support of her, including President Biden and former President Bill Clinton. Are we seeing that have any impact for her?
In the final days, you have seen early voting by Democrats go up quite a bit. So there's 1.1 million people who came out with early voting. A lot of that is in New York City. The bulk of that is in New York City, which is highly Democratic and supportive of Kathy Hochul. So the question is, you know, did Biden, did Clinton, did Kamala Harris help convince people to go out and actually vote? Because that is an issue, especially in New York City, where people tend to vote, not as many people tend to vote. And so the question is, is that going to push her over the edge, and is that going to be enough? Now, we don't know yet how much of the totals those early votings have made up, and whether or not, you know, the rest of the state is going to come out on Election Day and vote for Lee Zeldin or Kathy Hochul.
Now, it's certainly going to be a race to watch, and surprisingly so. Thanks for this, Shelley. Great having you on with us this morning. That is Bloomberg's New York Bureau Chief, Shelley Banjo. Karen.
Nathan, thank you. It is 5:53 on Wall Street. It's time for the Bloomberg Law Report. Let's get to the legal stories we're watching this morning from Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger.
Apple responded to a businessman's lawsuit. The company says it is not to blame for a hack of the plaintiff's smartphone in which spyware was installed. The FBI has shut down Z Library, a pirate website where thousands of e-books could be downloaded for free. The IRS wants to issue new guidance on issues raised by a recent change in how research and development costs are accounted for. The agency hopes the guidance can be out by the end of the year.
Bloomberg Law. Everything you need, all on one legal research platform, including guidance, analysis, and Bloomberg Market Intelligence. Find out more at BloombergLaw.com.
All right, Jeff, thank you. Now another legal story we're watching. Tattoos are more popular than ever, and that leads to lawsuits. The verdict in the case over the depiction of wrestler Randy Orton's tattoo in a video game illustrates the legal uncertainty and mixed messages in this complicated area of copyright law. The jury decided the case in favor of the tattoo artist, who had a copyright on her inked designs, but awarded her a paltry sum. For more, Bloomberg's June Grasso speaks to intellectual property litigator Terrence Ross, partner at Katten Muchin Rosenman.
The jury award was $3,750, which
seems really low to me, especially if you consider, I don't know if the legal work was done on a contingency basis, but the cost of trial.
This is a relatively trivial jury award, and in my view represents a compromise on the part of the jury members. You often see this in civil lawsuits where there's some dispute within the jury members as to whether or not there should be a finding of liability in the first place. And the compromise usually goes something like this. Well, okay, we will agree to say that the defendant is liable, and you will agree to say that the damages are going to be very low. And it's a typical jury compromise when the jury doesn't have a consensus. And chances are this was on a contingent fee basis. I don't know that for a fact, but that's typically the way these are pursued, and that would represent not enough money to cover the plaintiff's attorney's fees, not even come close. I happen to know the lead attorney for the defense here, and that would have covered only about 3 hours per time. So it's very much, I think, a victory for the defendant, but they would probably have preferred not to have to take it to a jury to have prevailed on summary judgment, which has happened in the past with this particular defendant.
It seemed to me like the jury was thinking about, you know, the implications, because they found that none of the profits of the game were attributable to the five tattoos. And that makes sense to me, because no one's playing the game to look at the tattoos.
I think that's exactly right. I think the jury probably sat there and said to themselves, well, what would have been a reasonable license fee here instead of looking at what the profitability of the game was? And it really goes to a different question, June, which is whether or not this case should ever have gotten to the jury in the first place. The sort of traditional game plan with respect to the defense against copyright and tattoos has been three parts. You argue that there's a fair use, you argue that there's an implied license, and you argue that there's a de minimis use. And your comment really goes towards this de minimis use issue. You see the tattoos fleetingly. He's one character in the game. It's clearly not contributing that much to the game user's enjoyment of the game. It's simply an identifier of one character in the game. And in the past, not that there are a ton of lawsuits on tattoos, but in the past, judges, particularly in the Southern District of New York, have thrown out these copyright and tattoo lawsuits in video games on the grounds of the de minimis use defense.
Terrence Ross, a partner at Katten Muchin and Rosenman, speaking with Bloomberg's June Grasso. Catch more of that interview, plus analysis of the latest legal news, by subscribing to the Bloomberg Law Podcast or downloading the show at Bloomberg.com/podcast. Attorneys can find exceptional legal research and business development tools at BloombergLaw.com and on the Bloomberg Terminal at BLawGo. Futures this morning, again, well, they're trimming their gains just a bit, aren't they? S&P futures are now little changed. And Bloomberg Daybreak continues. This is Bloomberg.